speaking of achieving amazing heights, we're honored today to host Dr. Beverly Daniel Tatum, President Emerita of Spelman College, author of 4 books, most recently having published a second edition of her national bestseller, Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria? And Other Conversations About Race. She's also a clinical psychologist, a speaker, and a lecturer, and nationally recognized as an expert on the psychology of race. In 2014, the American Psychological Association presented Dr. Tatum with the Award for Outstanding Lifetime Contribution to Psychology, the highest honor presented by the APA. The citation for the award stated that, "You have engaged the very difficult subject of race relations in the United States and the impact of such an environment on identity development for African Americans." And I'm also proud to add that Beverly is the 2010 recipient of the Leadership Character Award in Education, an award handed out by the TurkNet Leadership Group to individuals who have demonstrated leadership character. Well, thank you for joining me today, Beverly.
I'm delighted to be with you, Anne. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. So I want to begin at the very beginning, or perhaps in earlier times. I read that you were the only Black child in an all-white school growing up. And I'm just curious, how did that experience influence all the work that you do around conversations about race, the psychology of race?
Well, I think it probably had a lot to do with my worldview, I'm sure of that. But I want to talk a little bit about how I got to be in that circumstance, because I think that is also important. I was born actually in Florida, in Tallahassee, Florida, in 1954. And certainly if I'd grown up in Tallahassee, Florida, I would not have been the only Black child in an all-white school. I probably would have been in an all-Black school probably because of segregation. But my parents were both college-educated graduates of Howard University, and my father was a professor teaching at Florida A&M, which is a historically Black institution in Tallahassee. And in the 1950s, my father was an artist, an art professor, and he was interested in getting a doctorate in the field of art education and would have liked to do that at Florida State University, which is also in Tallahassee. But because of Jim Crow segregation, he was not able to attend Florida State. It was still, at that time, a whites-only institution. And even after the Brown versus Board of Education decision, it took the state of Florida, like a lot of Southern states, Georgia included, several years to begin to desegregate their institutions, particularly their higher education institutions. But what the state of Florida was required to do by law was to provide access to graduate education. And so they did that not by letting my dad go to Florida State, but by paying his transportation out of the state. And he was able to attend Pennsylvania State University. That's where he earned his doctorate, but commuting back and forth between Florida and Pennsylvania in order to do that. So when he finished his degree in 1957, by that time I was a 3-year-old. I had an older brother, a couple years older than me. My parents decided that they really did not want to raise their children in the Jim Crow system. And my father started looking for employment outside of the region and found a job in Massachusetts. He was hired at what was then called Bridgewater State College. Today it's known as Bridgewater State University. Bridgewater, Massachusetts is a small town about 30 miles outside of Boston. And my father became the first African-American professor at Bridgewater State. So in 1958, he started what turned out to be a 35-plus year career at Bridgewater State. And, you know, we moved to Massachusetts, and I grew up in this small town with very few Black families. And there might have been, you know, a few other Black children in the school. But in my classroom, I was the only Black kid in my class. So when I look back on my experience growing up in Bridgewater, I think it was, generally speaking, a relatively positive experience. I was privileged to be the child of a college professor. My father was well known in the community as, you know, the only Black, a small town, only Black professor at Bridgewater State. Everybody knew Dr. Daniel, and I was known as Dr. Daniel's daughter in that sense. My mother became a school teacher in the town as well. And so I had the benefit of well-educated parents and a lot of opportunities. But it was nonetheless still a challenge to be an outsider in the sense of being the only Black child. And people certainly brought that to my attention from time to time.
And I'm sure there wasn't an awareness then, but maybe there was, about how important it was to identify with your race. And so that would eventually come to play, right?
Yes, certainly as an adolescent. One of the things that happens, some of your listeners might be able to identify with this. One of the things that happens when you are one of few in an environment, like, you know, the only Black kid, or maybe the only woman in a largely male environment, or when you're in a situation like that, sometimes what people will do is view you as exceptional. So I would have the experience sometimes of people saying, oh, I don't really think of you as Black. Or people would say, again, in my teenage years, would say things like, oh, well, you're not really Black. As in, I have an idea of what Black people are like. You don't fit that stereotype. Therefore, I don't think of you in that way. And while that can be a positive in the sense of people will include you because they've made you an exception, on the other hand, it is also offensive. Because what's implied in that is that there's something wrong with being Black. And therefore, you know, I've made this exception for you, but, you know, those other people are not okay. And so for me, as I got older, it became clear to me that I wanted to be in a more diverse community. And so when I got ready to go to college, and fortunately, I knew I was going to go to college, having grown up in this well-educated family, I was actively seeking a college environment that I thought would be more diverse.